بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So إن شاء الله every day we will starting from سورة الضحى we will discuss one of the final 20 surahs of the Quran. The purpose being that these are surahs that we often recite in the Fard Salah. So it is useful, it is beneficial to know the translation. So بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة الضحى والضحى. First, we'll go through the translation. I swear by the forenoon. I take oath by the forenoon. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And by the night when it becomes peaceful. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord, O Prophet, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has neither forsaken you nor has become displeased. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Surely, the hereafter is much better for you than the present life. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And of course, your Lord, your Rabb will give you much, will give you so much that you will be pleased. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you an orphan and give you shelter? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you unaware of the way, عيد الشريعة, and then he guided you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And he found you in need, and then he made you need-free, he fulfilled your need. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Therefore, as for the orphan, do not oppress him. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for the beggar, do not scold him. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And about the bounty of your Lord, do talk. Now, this is Surah Al-Duha, which was revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. And before we begin the translation and the explanation of the Surah, the first thing to understand is that starting from Al-Duha, if you are reciting the full Quran, you have begun and your recitation has reached Wadduha. After, from Surah Al-Duha, after every Surah, it is Sunnah, it is Mustahab to say Allahu Akbar. And if a person wants, we can say La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. But saying at least Allahu Akbar is Sunnah. This has come in the Ahadith. The topic of Wadduha is talking about the greatness and the status of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this Surah was revealed after an incident took place. So this surah was revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. And what happened was that revelation, wahi was coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it would come, maybe a few verses came today, maybe a few verses come the next day. Sometimes a day is missed, sometimes more than a day is missed, according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But revelation would come continuously like this. So what happened was that the mushrikeen of Makkah, of course, they knew, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is then passing on these verses to the ummah, to who, the first people, the people of Makkah in front of you. Now, it so happened that revelation of the glorious Quran stopped for some time, and a few days. And like we said, there is nothing wrong with this. It was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verses are revealed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah needs time to ponder upon those verses, process the message inside it, practice upon them. So a short break came. But the mushrikeen, they were always looking for an opportunity to insult Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to put him down. So some mushrikeen started saying, it seems like your Rabb has left you. Your Rabb is displeased with you, your Lord is displeased with you, he's left you. So this is one thing that happened. And at the same time, something else happened as well. What was that? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very punctual with the tahajjud salah. According to many ulama, tahajjud salah was farz upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was very, very punctual with tahajjud salah. He would recite the Quran in tahajjud salah. He would recite it aloud. And there are many incidents of the tahajjud salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his tilawah was so attractive that even the senior most enemies, like Abu Jahl and Uqba, in secret they used to go to listen to the tilawah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud is famous because his tilawah was so attractive, people would come to listen to his tilawah, even non-Muslims. Now, because of illness, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud was missed for a few days, two or three nights. And there is nothing wrong with this. In the hadith it comes that when a person is ill and he was doing an amal, but he is unable to do the amal, then in that period where he was unable to do the amal, because he is ill, he gets the same reward as if he is doing the amal. So there was nothing wrong with that. But again, someone from the mushrikeen, use this to insult Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this time it was Umme Jamil. And who was Umme Jamil? Umme Jamil was the wife of Abu Lahab. And ahead it will come in Surah Lahab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some of her ill qualities in Surah Lahab. So this had already happened. Surah Lahab had already been revealed. So she was ashamed that she had been insulted in the glorious Quran. Her ill qualities had been revealed to everyone. So she was looking for an opportunity to insult Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when this happened, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 2 or 3 nights, he was unable to perform the tahajjud salah because of illness. Then she came and she said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it seems like your shaitan has left you. So this was an ill word. It seems like your shaitan, meaning that the Quran which you are reciting, which was from Jibreel alayhi salam, from Allah ta'ala, you have stopped it. So it seems like the shaitan which was in you, it has left you. So of course, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hurt by these remarks. The thought may have crossed my mind that these people are saying Allah ta'ala has left me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Duha number 1 to console him. And inside Surah Al-Duha also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many of the bounties of his bounties upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath. He takes oath number 1, but what duha? By the forenoon. What is duha? Duha is the time kind of, it's not noon yet, but it's after, between sunrise and noon, the time when it is starting to get light and light is spreading. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took oath by Surah Al-Duha first. And thereafter, the second thing he took oath by is the night when it becomes peaceful. When it becomes peaceful means, not the beginning of the night, slowly, slowly when it becomes pitch black and everyone goes to sleep, the dead of the night. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took oath by these two things. And before we go ahead, we should also understand that for us, it is only permissible to take oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person wants to emphasize something, anyway, there's a different point that an oath shouldn't be taken lightly. An oath should only be taken out of necessity. But it is only permissible for us to take oath upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, can take oath of whatever he wants. And in the Quran, he takes oath of different things. But whenever he takes oath of something, it is number 1, to highlight its importance. And number 2, it is because there is some connection to the topic at hand. So here, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take oath of number 1, the duha time, and the night time? So the first reason is to show the importance. Why to show the importance? Because these are two times of the day when a person can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there is extra reward for worshiping Him. In the time of duha, the forenoon, between sunrise and noon and the beginning of dhuhr time, is a time when a person can perform the salah known as salatul duha, which has many virtues in the ahadith. And the night time is a time where a person can perform the tahajjud salah, which is also a very virtuous salah. So that is one reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And the other reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this is because ahead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to console Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the revelation stopped for a few days. That's no big deal. It's in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned duha, which is the time when the light spreads. And He mentions the dead of the night, which is the time when there is no light. Indicating that, look, these are two opposites. Light spreading, no light. But no one says that the night is a bad time and the day is a good time, or vice versa. Every person understands that they have their own wisdom. The day has its benefits. A person can fulfill so many tasks by the means of the light of the day, etc. And the night has its benefits, rest, etc. So in the same way, wahi revelation comes to you, or the opposite happens, meaning it's paused, both of them have the wisdom. Just like the night and the day have the wisdom. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took oath by this. Then He said, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. First, He gave a clear-cut message that your Rabb has not forsaken you and nor is He displeased. Whether it is revelation has paused, or whether it is you are unable to perform the tahajjud salah, no. Your Rabb is not displeased with you at all. He hasn't left you. Here it should be mentioned that one lesson Surah Al-Duha gives us is that something which is not outside our control cannot cause harm to any of us. Revelation coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stopping, is not something in his control. It was not if he performed extra salah, if he did this more ability. No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing that there's nothing wrong with him. It is not harmful to you at all. Secondly, a person falls ill because of which he is unable to do what he can normally do. Not outside, it's not in his control. So when he falls ill because of that, his a'mal decrease, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. It does not harm him in the very least. This is a very important message for us, especially for the month of Ramadan as well, because it happens in the month of Ramadan. A person wants to do so much, but he's so busy, it is outside his control. He is unable to take much time of work. A person, he wants to do a lot in the month of Ramadan, he falls ill. He falls so ill that he is unable to fast, never mind other amal. Yes, a person should have this feeling that I wish I could do more, because he will be rewarded for it. But at the same time, a person should understand that I am not being harmed by this. It is not any deficiency of mine, and there is no harm to my deen or my akhirah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being consoled in this manner. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. Definitely, the hereafter is much better for you than the present life. Meaning, in this world they will insult you. In this world they will taunt you. And this is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of the prophets. We should also take away from this, that if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give him a life where there was no ill words falling into his ears. So if someone taunts us, says something ill to us because of some part of our deen, maybe because we have a beard and no one else has a beard at work, or anything else, then a person should not feel down. He should feel happy that I am following the footsteps of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same, he was given the same treatment, much, much more severe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled him, and we can take consolation from this as well. Someone taunts us because of our practicing of deen, then we should also take the same message, that surely the hereafter is much better for you than this present life. That in the hereafter a person will gain much more. For each and every taunt that he had to suffer in this world, he will gain so much in the hereafter. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرَضَى. And of course, definitely your Rabb will give you so much that you will be pleased. Your Rabb will give you so much that you will be pleased. The ulama have said that this refers to this world as well. That in this world Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so much, meaning He will make your deen spread. He will give you victory over the people who are showing enmity to you, to the mushrikeen of Makkah. And number two, in the hereafter as well. Now, the mention of this in a hadith, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, narrating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in the hereafter, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So this is just one example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him 1,000 palaces, min lu'lu, made of pearls, turabuha misk, the soil of it will be musk, and every single palace will be, you can say, all necessities, all luxuries built in. Everything a person needs to, 1,000 palaces of those. So this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is something else which has been mentioned under this verse, that when this verse was revealed, which we can also understand our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's connection with us. So this verse was revealed to console Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you a lot in the hereafter. When this verse was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if this is the case, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying He is going to give me so much in the hereafter, that I will be pleased, that I am telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the hereafter, as long as any ummati of mine with iman is in Jahannam, I will not be pleased. So I will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment that I am not pleased as long as a single person with iman is in Jahannam. And through this form of intercession, sooner or later, every single person with iman will be removed from Jahannam. Ahead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now mentioning, you can say in simple terms, his track record with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that don't worry about the future. Look at how I've treated you until now. I've given you this blessing, I've given you this blessing, I've given you this blessing. And in particular, three blessings. Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did he not find you an orphan and then he gave you shelter? What does this mean? An orphan is someone whose father has passed away when he is young. And it is very common that when the father passes away, then even if there is some relative to look after that person, then they don't give them the same love, the same attention as the father. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your father passed away before you were born.
And your mother always also passed away very early when you were 6 years old. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then appointed your grandfather to look after you. He passed away in a couple of years, then your uncle. But both of them treated you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed your love in their hearts to such an extent that they treated you with so much love, with so much attention, that they didn't give the same love and attention to their own children. They were so worried about you that they weren't worried about their own children. So Allah says, you are an orphan, but despite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you shelter. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And He found you unaware of the way. And then He guided you. Meaning by that time, the deen of the past Anbiya alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, etc., it had disappeared in the Arabian Peninsula. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He found you unaware of this way, and He guided you, He gave you the Sharia. And through that, He guided so many other people as well. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And He found you in need, and then He made you need free. You didn't have a father. The father who passed away didn't leave you anything much in inheritance. Your mother passed away at a very young age as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, financially He kept you, he kept you independent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned three blessings. And the principle is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives someone a blessing, then a person has to show gratitude for it. And gratitude is number one, that a person feels grateful in his heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me something. Secondly, a person he says with his tongue, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this for me. Alhamdulillah. And thirdly, he uses that blessing in a way that practically he is showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ahead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that therefore, as for the orphan, don't oppress him. Don't oppress the orphan. You are an orphan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked after you. In return, what do? Treat orphans with special attention. And we will, if we have time at the end of the verse, at the end of the surah, we will come to one final point on this verse. And as for the beggar, don't scold him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you independent financially. So someone who is financially in need comes to you, then don't scold him. The ulama have said that if a person has something to give, then give. If a person doesn't have something to give, then in a polite manner, in a good manner, give him dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, fulfill your need. Yes, if the beggar is insistent and the only way to stop him inconveniences is to show a bit of harshness, then it is permissible. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the bounty of your Rabb, do talk, mention it. Say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also an indication that propagate deen. Deen Sharia is a bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Then propagate it. So this is the short translation and tafsir of Surah Duha. I just wish to mention one final point. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. As for the orphan, don't oppress him. The orphan is that person who it is least likely there is going to be someone to stand up and speak up for him. He doesn't have his father, the main person who is going to speak up for him. When he doesn't have his father, then he is seen as weak in society. It's very easy to oppress him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned the orphan to tell us that there is someone who doesn't have anyone to speak up for them. Whether it is someone in society, whether it is someone in your own home, your spouse, the wife, the husband, whoever. If there is someone who doesn't have anyone to speak up for them, then be very, very careful in making sure you don't oppress them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the glorious Quran and practice upon it. Ameen wa akhiru al-a'an, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Achha, finally, something which I was going to mention previously as well. This translation is taken from the translation of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Hafidhahullah. And it's a very easy translation. Now it's been published with footnotes as well. So if anyone ever does wish to check the translation of any verse by themselves, I would advise them to use this translation, the translation of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani. It is just called the Noble Quran. But if you search it with his name, you will find the PDF online as well. And you will also find it in majority of bookstores. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it? Yeah.